Okay, let's bring it back. Just a couple people, shout out. What's something you just praise God or rejoice God for this morning? Yeah, Ben. For your family? That's awesome. Yeah, what else? Sleeping through the whole night and on a first Father's Day. That's great. Yeah, Iris. TV. Perfect. What else? Hannah.
Donuts.
Donuts. These are some good ones. Yes, right here. Music. Yeah, Josie. Oh, you have a puppy coming? That's awesome. So fun. Okay, who here would say that they praise God for heights? Like you love heights or you rejoice? Anybody like heights here? Okay, we got like one or two. Who here, when I just bring up heights, you're all of a sudden your heart is in your throat, right? You're like, no, thank you. I do not praise the Lord for heights whatsoever. Okay, so each year that I was on Young Life staff, I had to face my fear of heights on this thing at camp called the High Ropes Course. And we have some footage of what that looks like at Young Life camp. There's anywhere from where you start, there's about 30 feet below you when you're just first on the thing. They don't really ease you in, to about 70 feet that you're up in the air as you're going through this course. How it works is you have a harness, and then you have these two tethers, these two straps that come off of your harness. And kids in the front, very important kids, you have your carabiner in there, like the keychain thing. Grab that. There's carabiners at the ends of your tethers that you connect to the wire that runs up above your head, all right? So then you're moving through these different obstacles, and none of them are easy, right? There's a bridge, and you're like, oh, a bridge. And then they've taken out like five or six of the planks, so you have to like really do these big steps, or there's ropes that are just out of reach that you're trying to maneuver through as you're balancing on this wire, hoping that you don't fall off the side. After you get through one obstacle, there's a checkpoint, okay? And then there's some Young Life staff people that are in the center area, and at each checkpoint, you would have to make eye contact with whoever the Young Life staff person was, and you'd say, permission to transfer, because you had to move your carabiners from the rope you were currently on onto the new obstacle course wire that's going above. There's a really specific way to do that. You always want one carabiner attached to one of the wires while you're transferring the other one. So you'd say, permission to transfer carabiner one. They'd say, permission granted. You'd take it off, you'd clip it on, and then you'd show that it's locked to them, and then you'd say, permission to transfer carabiner two. And then they'd say, permission granted, and then you'd put it onto the other one, and you could continue on, all right? It was super important to follow those rules, because if any point you didn't, you could be standing 70 feet in the air, not attached to anything. I want to tell you about three people that experienced this high ropes course while I was there for Young Life. There was Tanner. And Tanner trusted that his harness, his tethers, the carabiners, and the whole system worked. And he trusted the Young Life staff, and he also obeyed all the rules. He obeyed all the instructions that they gave him so that whenever he needed to transfer all of that, he trusted that he was safe. And Tanner looked like he was like on some sort of jungle gym, because he would get a running start on these things and just jump, grab his tethers, and like zip line through the course. He was not afraid at all. He trusted and he also obeyed. And it led to him having joy and really experiencing the course in its fullness, because he trusted if he even fell off a little bit, he was only going to drop like half a foot before the wire would catch him. There's another guy named Matt. I don't know this guy at all. He obeyed all the rules. He was terrified to not obey the rules as he was 70 feet in the air. And so whatever they said, he would triple check to make sure. You really? I can transfer? His problem was he didn't trust. He didn't think that if he fell, that the harness, the tethers, the carabiners, all of it would work. It felt like it was all on me. That if I made one false move, there's some scenario out there where I plummet to my demise, right? And I was terrified, sweating, going so slow. And I'm the leader of these students, like, be brave. And I would always go last so they didn't have to see me do it because I was so scared. So my obedience, but then lack of trust led to fear as I would maneuver this thing. Then there's Ned. Everybody say Ned. Ned. So Ned's not actually his name. I don't even know this guy. He was just on the course at the same time as me from a different Young Life area. And I hear this commotion going on behind me. And while you're 70 feet in the air, you never want to hear commotion going on behind you. And there's Ned on the course. And Ned has not listened to the instructions. Ned didn't check if he could transfer carabiner one, didn't check if he could transfer carabiner two. He never asked any Young Life staff, and so there he is 60 feet in the air holding both carabiners in his hand, not connected to anything. And I'm hearing the Young Life staff person go, Ned, stop what you're doing. And then they realized, it's not going to help this teenager if I'm yelling at them to not be stressed in this moment. And they helped him slowly connect his first carabiner back to the wire and his second one back to the wire. Ned was trusting, like blindly trusting in himself that he was okay, so much so that he didn't follow the good instructions. And when you blindly trust without being obedient, it's actually dangerous. It's really deadly. And we'll get more into that a little bit later. I've thought about this high ropes course again and again and again, and probably some of the students here have, like, we've heard you talk about this again and again and again, because I think it is such a good picture of what following Jesus can look like. That Jesus invites us to trust him, to obey what he says is good, right, and true. What I like to think about it is that wire that goes above on that obstacle course, that as you're navigating all these different things, that wire represents God's word and his ways. That's what we want to be locked into, God's word and his ways that navigate us through the different obstacles as we seek to follow him. But what keeps us anchored to his word and his ways are the two carabiners, or the two tethers of his love and his works. What he has done, so that we see that his promises are true. What God says he will do and can do powerfully. So what keeps us locked into God's words and his ways are his love and his works. And that's how we continue, even though at times we might be afraid, we might stumble, we might fall, we continue to follow towards him, the ultimate goal of knowing him and seeing him face to face. I wonder who you might relate to on the course with God, maybe even right here in this morning. Are you like Tanner? I trust and I obey. Are you like me? I obey, but dang, I don't trust. I'm really afraid. Or maybe you can feel like Ned at times, like, oh, I really trust, but your actions don't actually display that there's any trust because there's no obedience connected to that trust. This morning, the passage that we're hopping into is a moment where Jesus is teaching his disciples, and not just his 12 disciples, but 72 people that have decided to follow him and place their trust in him. He's teaching them the joy of trusting and obeying him. Let's all say that together. The joy of trusting and obeying him. The disciples up until this point have been watching Jesus minister to people, watching him heal the sick, watching him cast out evil spirits, and watching him teach people about the kingdom of God and what it means to be a part of that kingdom. And now Jesus takes a moment and stops with these disciples, and he says, okay, you've seen me do it. Now it's your turn. It'd be like watching the Young Life person go through the course, and you're like, that looks pretty cool. And they're like, okay, now you go up 70 feet and do it. It's like, ah, no thanks. Watching was fun. I'll just watch you do this thing. That's what it would have felt like for these disciples. They're like, wait, you're telling us to go out and heal people? To cast out evil? To teach people about your kingdom in the ways that you have? this kind of sounds crazy, Jesus. I don't know if I can do it. Maybe I'm even a little scared to go to these towns where, why would anybody listen to me? Why would anybody invite me into their home? And Jesus makes it clear, this isn't going to be easy. Not everybody is going to like what you say or do. You'll face rejection when you trust me and obey me. But also, there will be those who believe. There will be those who respond. So let's see what happens. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. So they go out. They follow what Jesus says, and all of a sudden, these 72 disciples come back. And it says, the 72 returned with what? Joy. They returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They're saying to Jesus, Jesus, it worked. Not only did people listen to us, not only were we able to heal people, but we also were able to drive out these evil spirits. We were able to do that in your name, in your authority. These things we never thought we could do. These things that felt so scary or so big, we were able to do it because of your authority. We need to stop for a second because there's something really important there for us in this. Before we get into all the things that they did or that they said and wonder about that, Jesus tells them, go and do this thing. And what do the disciples do? What do? What was that? They obey. They did it. They just did it. They weren't like, well, can you give me like a 12-step book that I can read first, Jesus, on this thing? Or maybe there's a sermon series you could kind of work me through here so I really like figure out what it is that you want me to do. Or maybe I can watch a video that's just going to show me step by step how to do that. There's a tutorial on YouTube, right, that I could watch for this thing. No, they just remember what they've seen in Jesus. They trust what he says, and they do it. And like Tanner on the High Ropes course, they come back with joy because they got to be a part of amazing things. And we don't know all the details. I'm sure there were struggles. There were times where it was scary or where it was hard. But we see that there's joy when they trust and when they obey Jesus. And Jesus here is really good at making sure their focus and our focus doesn't get misaligned, doesn't focus on the wrong things, especially if we do some things that feel kind of cool. Have you ever done something that feels kind of cool and you're like, I did that. That's pretty awesome, right? So for me, at the end of this High Ropes course, there's a platform you're on and there's a trapeze bar that's maybe a mile away. It feels like it. It's more like 5 feet. But you have to jump from the platform that's at the highest point of the High Ropes course and jump and do your best to catch it, right? And so I'm so scared, like especially the first time, so scared. And I probably was praying more fervently than I ever have. And I jumped. I feel like I closed my eyes even because I was so scared, and I caught it. And the disciples, they jumped in a way. They did something that felt risky. They did something they hadn't done before. And they trusted, and it led to some success, these really awesome things. And sometimes when we do that, me hanging on that trapeze bar, I was actually like, get me down now. I don't care what I just did. I want to be down. I'm done. But we could go, look at me. Look at what I've done. I'm pretty awesome. But Jesus here stops them. As cool as it is, the things you're doing, let's focus on the real thing that matters here. And he says in verse 20, all the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and presence with you. Not what you do for God, but what God does for you. That's the agenda for rejoicing. Hear that part again. It's not what you do for God, but what God does for you, that's the agenda for rejoicing. How does that change how we even hear Philippians 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord because of what he's done always. And again, I say rejoice. The only reason I was willing to jump and even go for the trapeze bar is there was a guy down on the ground who was belaying me with a rope. So if I fell, if I missed, he would catch me. The only reason that the disciples were able to do anything that they did and there was any success of any kind is because they knew they were doing it in God and for God. God was the one who made them successful. But I think what can get in the way of us wanting to trust and obey is often that we're scared, that we feel like I do on that high ropes course. We're afraid to trust and obey God. And I want to turn it to you guys in a second to think of some ways that we might be afraid to trust and obey him, to get your thoughts. One of them for me, maybe you can relate, raise your hand. Sometimes I'm afraid to forgive people. I'm scared not to just forgive them in my heart between me and God, but to actually seek reconciliation with someone and look at them face to face and want to work towards that relationship being made right. Does anybody else struggle, scared of forgiving? Yeah, just me and Iris, sweet. we'll work on that. But kids, adults, if you're so brave, what are some other ways we can be afraid sometimes to trust or to obey God? What do you guys think? Iris, yeah. Yes, when there's a barrier, when something stands in the way of trusting or obeying. What else? Where can we be afraid to trust and obey God?
Sharing the gospel,
doing the very thing that the disciples were doing, telling people the good news about who God is and what he's done. What else? Yeah, Ben. Yeah, praying in front of other people. I think that's a fear that we've faced in our men's Monday morning prayer multiple times over, of people realizing it's okay to pray out loud. How many people sometimes are even afraid to pray things because what if God doesn't actually do what we're asking him to do? Do you ever get scared to even pray something? Because, no, just me too, cool. All right, man, I gotta work on this whole faith thing. You guys are killing it. Anything else? Where are you afraid to trust and obey? Where's their fear there? These are great. Yeah, Rebecca.
Sometimes trusting and obeying God, putting him first, might put challenges in the human relationships in your life.
Yes.
You know? So learning to really trust God.
Yes.
As you follow him, as it might impact those around.
How people view you, the relationship they want to have with you. The safety or comfort that they once felt with you when you're actually following and trusting God and obeying him can put some of those things in jeopardy, even though we have no control over how those people react, totally. So there was a moment for me one time where I knew I needed to forgive someone, and it felt like that trapeze bar, right? That I need to jump and do this thing, and I'm terrified because for one, there was so much hurt here that I didn't want to face that hurt again. And yet, God did this thing where we came together. Forgiveness was able to happen, not just verbally, but also like we moved forward in that relationship together. And I remember I was at Crown Park after I met with this individual, and I was walking back to my car. And the joy that ensued, not knowing what was ahead, not knowing, are we going to be best friends now? Are we going to ever see each other again? But the joy just that, God, like, I did what I knew you said was good and right and true, and you didn't fail me. Like, you didn't abandon me. You gave me words to say. You gave me courage, and I actually did it. I literally remember thinking about skipping to my car, and that's not something, I walk on my toes, but I don't skip, like, around different places. But I was so filled with joy because I followed through with what God said, and I didn't know how it was going to go, but just being obedient and trusting him was like this huge relief and exhale I got to have, that I wasn't holding this thing anymore, and now it was totally God's to do whatever he wanted to do with it. Faith is walking on the high ropes course, even though we may be afraid. Trusting and obeying, even when it's scary. We're putting ourselves in a place where we're not just saying with our mouths, I trust you, God, I trust you, God, but we're demonstrating our trust By obeying and doing what Jesus says through our actions and through our heart posture towards him and towards others. Anybody remember Ned? Ned. Yeah, let's say Ned's name again. Ned. Yes, Ned. Do you remember what was Ned's problem? What happened for him? What was that? He was, yes, trusting blindly, and then what didn't he do? Yes, he didn't obey. So he was trusting blindly, and he didn't obey, and the result of that is it was dangerous. And I think the Bible makes it really clear that when we trust with our minds, our God, James, right? Faith without works is dead. But we don't obey out of that trust. We don't respond in trust. That is a dangerous place to be. To say, I trust you, Lord, but then to be confronted again and again with situations of obedience and to say, no, no, no. And with that, thank goodness he's a gracious God. It's not like God in that is just like, oh yeah, this is really going to stink now. But there are results that we have all experienced where we have said with our mouths, I trust you, God, but we haven't obeyed. And it leads to things that can be harmful to us and to others. Jesus actually says that we adults can learn from you kids in this way. Verse 21 of the passage, Jesus himself, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. Sometimes I think we feel like we have to know all the right answers about God, about Jesus. We have to have passages memorized. We have to have our life together before we can really trust and obey Jesus. Sometimes I think we really overthink it. And Jesus says, actually, what we're to be like as we trust and obey him is like an infant, a child who is completely dependent on their parents' love, completely dependent on their parents' care. There is nothing that they can do for themselves, on their parents' ability to provide for them. If I were to take our daughter Marley on a high ropes course, and this is not the application for this morning, but if I were to take Marley on the high ropes course with me with like the front pack thing and she's strapped into me, the things I'm concerned about, worried about, focused on, Marley's not thinking about that at all. She doesn't see the 70 feet. She probably doesn't even feel the wobbles the same way that I do. She's close to her dad. She feels the comfort of being near to me, connected, that my voice is right there. And she believes she's going to be okay until she's hungry for a bottle, right? But she believes in that moment, she's okay, she's safe, she's secure. And Jesus is saying, be like that infant. In the ways that you trust, in the ways that you obey, recognize how secure you are in the Father. Jesus says we're to have childlike trust in God, who's our perfect Father. And that kind of trust, when it's displayed in our lives, that obedience, it brings Jesus joy in this moment. He's like giddy here, filled with the Spirit, that his disciples and their relationship to God, that it's all playing out in the way God intended it from the beginning, to trust and to obey him in relationship standards. In another gospel, Jesus has another moment telling his fathers to be like little kids in their trust and obedience. And the kids in the very important kids section and spread out, I really want you to hear this, because where you're at right now isn't just the starting spot in your faith with God. There's something really beautiful that God says about being a child and the natural faith that is just built into you because you're created in God's image that we adults sometimes forget. Here's what it is. Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a small child and had him stand among them. Truly I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. Kids, where you at? Give me your eyes for a second. Kids, some adults looked at me too. You can still be a kid, I guess. Kids, Jesus invites you to trust and obey him now. Don't just wait till when you're older, to when you know more, to when it feels like your life is more together. He says that faith and trust that you have as a child now is the most valuable place to be in his kingdom. And everyone else, we then have the hard task of how do we have faith and trust like that in our God? How do we become like these children? Where has our faith grown old and tired and mundane because we don't readily trust Jesus and obey him?